And we're holding on page 112 in Brachas, six lines from the bottom. In other editions, it's towards the end of Osayin Tes, page 112 near the bottom, six lines from the in the middle of the paragraph. Pisker Rabbi Yezer, page 112, Nun Vav Amud Beis. We were discussing, the Mishnah had said that Rabbi Eliezer had said, Ha'osi tefilose keva in tefilose tachnunim, that if a person makes his tefila keva, some kind of fixed thing, then it's not tachnunim, it's not pleading to Hashem. So we discussed a couple of meanings, what that means so far. We had the first explanation meant that the person treats davening like a burden, I can't wait till I'm over and done with it. A second explanation is he doesn't say his davening beloshin, he doesn't say his shemana esrei beloshin tachanunim with wooting or with a feeling of supplication that he's pleading with Hashem, which we said yesterday. Tosfos says that actually that second opinion would say even if he feels that it's a masui, as long as he's able to express himself in a way of tachanunim, then it's not so bad. Then we had a third explanation that it means somebody who's eni yochel l'chadish b'dover, he's not able to have the kavana to be able to think of something new to add to his tefillah. He's just saying the exact same words yesterday as today as tomorrow. So now we have a fourth. Now we have a fourth definition of what Rabbi Eliezer means by ha'osa tefillah sekeva. Abaya bar oven v'rabchiyo rabchanina bar oven dami tavayu. Abaya bar oven and rabchiyo rabchanina bar oven both say that the definition of kol of ha'osa tefillah sekeva is kol she'enim espalol im dimdume chama. If a person doesn't daven Shemana Esrei at the time of dimdume chama, dimdume is meloshen odoim, so it means red. It means when you have a red, when you have the redness of the sunrise and of the sunset. So the way it should be, Rashi explains the way that Abaya ba'oven and Abchanina ba'oven are saying that a person should do is he should daven Shemana Esrei of Shachris right at Hanetzach Chama, which we learned earlier in the Masechta is what the Basikim do, and then he should daven Shemana Esrei of Mincha right as the sun is setting.
Also the rice. Dimdume is also the sunrise.
Right. So it means both the sunrise and the sunset. Both of them, you have a red glow in the sky. In fact, you have an interesting Gemara in Baba Basra that says the deeper reason why. Now, if you ask a meteorologist, they'll tell you the reason why the sky is reddish in the morning and in the evening is because the sun is being refracted through the clouds and the atmosphere, and they'll give you a whole thing about that. Gemara in Baba Basra actually has an interesting thing that the deeper reason behind it is because in the morning, the sun is passing in front of Gan Eden, so it reflects off the roses of Gan Eden, and in the evening, it's passing in front of Gehenna, and so it reflects off the red fire of Gehenna. So now, in fact, Ben Yehoyada on our Gemara explains that that's the deeper significance of why these Chachamim want a person to daven im dimdumei chama. It'll help him keep in mind Gan Eden and Gehenna and develop a greater Abba and a greater Yira to the Eibishter that way. However, and in fact, the Gemara says, the Omer Abchiba Abba Omer Abyechanan, mitzvah leis paul in dimdumei chama. The best way is to daven Shemana Esrei at the time of dimdumei chama. But Omer Abchiyah or Rab Zera Maikra, Rab Chiyah or Rab Zera says, where's a pasuk where we see that idea expressed? The pasuk says, Yira'ucha im Shamesh, the Jewish people will fear you, Hashem, with the sun, meaning as the sun is rising, and they're saying Shemana Esrei, V'lifnei Yareach, and before the moon, meaning as the moon is going to be rising, meaning at sunset, Dur Durim, for generations upon generations. So we see that it's a good thing to daven im Dimdumei Chama. And so again, Abaya ba'oven and Rab Chiyo, Rab Chanina ba'oven, I was saying that is what Rabbi Eliezer is saying in our Mishnah, that a person should make every effort to daven Shemana Esrei at those times, otherwise he's oisat tefilase keva, otherwise he's making his tefillah too much of a fixed thing. So in other words, it actually says, the point is, when a person doesn't daven at those times, it shows he doesn't care to find the best eis rotzen, to find the best time when Hashem's favor is most evident, which would be at those times, and to daven Shemana Esrei then. However, the Gemara says, however, in the West, meaning in Eretz Yisrael, they criticized people as far as Shachris, sure, by all means, daven Shachris and Hanetzach Chama, that's Vasikin, we learned earlier in the Masechta. However, when it comes to Mincha, they criticized people who do that, who wait until Shkia to daven Mincha, my time at Doma Mitra Fele Shaita, because an emergency might happen, and then he's going to end up missing the Zman altogether, so better Mincha, you should daven a little bit earlier, don't wait until the last possible moment. So one possibility is people upstate who are davening late. One possibility is they may be following Rabbeinu Tam's definition of Shkia. Keep in mind that Well, so here we're saying Dumdumei Chama, but the question is, what exactly is the definition of Shtia and what exactly is the definition of Tzeis? If you look in the Alter Rebbe's Seder Achnasas Shabbos, so he spends most of it explaining what his Shita is, as far as when Shtia is and when Tzeis of the Chavim is. Then at the end, he mentions the opinion of Rabbeinu Tam, which is that Shtia is much later than what we think of. It's even after what we consider Tzeis of the Chavim. To oversimplify, Rabbeinu Tam considers Shkia to be when all of the sunlight has disappeared from the sky. And only after that do you begin Bein HaShemoshes and eventually Tzeis HaKachavim. So we consider it's even after we consider Tzeis HaKachavim would still be, might not even be Rabbeinu Tam's Shkia yet. So you have actually, in Europe, actually, there were places where they actually began Shabbos that way also. Here in America, and in Eretz Yisrael, I've never heard of anybody doing that, but as far as the end of Shabbos, you have various kehillos, as we know of, that are machmu in that and keep Shabbos late. Maybe also, as far as mincha, maybe also they hold in the same vein, they hold, if they're holding like Rabbeinu Tam, so fine, as far as Shabbos, look, it's a daraisa to break Shabbos, so they're not gonna play around with that, so then they're gonna follow the Alter Rebbe's shita to be on the safe side. But when it comes to davening mincha, they may well have, if they follow Rabbeinu Tam's opinion, they may well be davening mincha. Yeah, actually, you have over here. Come to think of it, yeah. Now that I think of it, I've been on Talul for the shuls where they do that, where they daven mincha extremely late. Yeah, because they are in fact following Rabbeinu Tam's shita. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Mincha. Yeah. So that might well be why. Yeah. Okay. The Gemara goes on. The Mishnah had said, Rabbi Yeshua Omer Hamahalach B'Mokem Sakana. Rabbi Yeshua says that if a person is traveling through a dangerous area, so he doesn't have the option, so he doesn't have the ability to daven full Shemana Esrei, he doesn't even have the opportunity to daven Havineinu that we learned about yesterday, which is the first three brachas of Shemana Esrei, then one short bracha that encapsulates the middle 13, and then the last three. He may be in a dangerous situation. He has to get out of there as fast as possible, and he can't even daven that. Therefore, Mispalot Tefila Katzara. Instead, what he should do at a time like that is daven a very short tefillah. Va'omer, the tefillah that he says, Rabbi Yeshua says, would be Hoisha Hashem as Amcha, Hashem save your people, as She'eris Yisrael, the remnant of the Jewish people, B'chol Parsha Se'ibur, in every Parsha of Ibur, which now the Gemara is going to define what that means, that he continues, Yitzachem Lefanecha, their needs should be before you, and he finishes off Baruch HaTashem Shemeh. So that would be the Tefillah Ketzara, Rabbi Yeshua says. Soon we're going to have in the Gemara different opinions about what the Tefillah Ketzara would be at that time. But this is Rabbi Yeshua's opinion in the Mishnah. So my Parsha Se'ibur, what does Rabbi Yeshua mean by that phrase, B'chol Parsha Se'ibur? So Amar Rav Chista, Amar Ma'ukva, it means Afilu B'shah Sha'atem Mala U'mismala Aleim Evra, even when you, Hashem, are as full of anger against the Jewish people, ki'isha ubara, like a pregnant woman, yiyu kol tzorcheihem lefanecha, even at a time like that, all the needs of the Jewish people should be before you. So meaning, in other words, that we're saying, parsha se'ibur, in effect means any possible way that you could understand the word ibur, then please, Hashem, no matter what kind of meaning we place on the word ibur, whether we're talking maloshin evra, anger, or whether we're talking maloshin ubara, pregnant, either way, have rachmanus and realize what the Jewish people need.
What's isha ubara?
Isha ubara means a pregnant woman. So,
having,
well, first of all, I mean, on the simple level, yeah, an isha ubara is having a hard time of it, so she may be, but wait, so. So, in fact, Maoshab brings from a medrash that you have a similar thing when it says, "Vayisaber Hashem bi." Hashem was angry at me. Moshe says at the beginning of Parshas Vayeschanan, the medrash says, "Ki isho bar." Yeah, because you know, women when they're pregnant, sometimes they have mood swings. So, therefore, with that said, though, I mean, Eitz Yosef and Anaf Yosef have they're both pirushim from the same author. He has a long discussion about it. That it means, in other words, first of all, so we're talking about, in other words, the labor pains of a woman. We know that Chevle Mashiach in particular are compared to labor pains. That's the very word, Chevle Mashiach, means the birth pangs of Mashiach. So what happens is when we get close to the time of the Ketz, we have one thing coming right after another. So that's when, so the Tefillah is saying, even when it comes to that time of Ketz, when Hashem is angry and Hashem is expressing his anger by having us be in the situation of a pregnant woman, one pang, one pain after another, even at a time like that, Yitzachem Lefanecha, Hashem, please keep the needs of the Jewish people before you and have Rachmanus on you. So that's one thing. Then he goes on Anaf Yosef to mention another point as well, that it means, so now let's consider, when a woman is in labor, she's screaming out from the pain. Now, thinking about it rationally, after all, there's going to come a baby out of it. There's going to come a very great simcha out of it. Nevertheless, it doesn't change the fact that right now she's feeling tremendous pain. So therefore, we're saying to the Eibishter, yes, we understand that everything you're putting us through has a purpose, and eventually something tremendously good is going to come up out of it, all the way up to and including B'yas Mashiach Tzidkenu, Miyad Mamash. Nevertheless, right now we're in pain and we're screaming, Hashem, don't hold it against us that we're doing it. Realize that we are feeling the bad situation as much as a pregnant woman is, as much as a woman in labor is, and we don't know how long it's going to last. So that's all included in this B'chol Parsha Se'ibur. Habona at the bottom of the page points out another point as well. When we say Yitzochem Lefonecha, it doesn't just mean that Hashem should have our needs in mind, in other words, and do whatever and accomplish for us whatever we need. It also means Hashem should keep in mind, even at such times, all of the things that are besetting us in Golos, as we had earlier in the Masechta. We have our inner Yitzhahara, we have the Shibud Golias on the outside. That's called Tzorchehem, everything that we have our needs that is causing us to go the wrong way. Hashem, please keep that in mind and have Rachmanus on us and realize that to a certain extent it's not our fault. So that's one meaning. Omar Rava or Ikadamri, Omar of Chista, Omar Ma'okra, Afila B'Shah Shem Ovrim Avera or Al Divrei Torah. Another meaning of Parsha Se'ibur means even when the Jewish people are being over on Averas, even when they're transgressing. So, in other words, we're saying over here, in other words, you think about it, the Shurish Ayin Vez Resh has at least three different meanings. It could be related to the word Evra, which is anger, or Uber, Ubara, which is pregnant, or Avera, as in to transgress what Hashem wants. So now this other explanation is even when the Jewish people are doing averus, even at such times, our needs should be ever present to Hashem, that He should give us what we need. And as Abona is saying, that Hashem should also realize what kind of troubles are besetting us and causing us to do those averus in the first place. So now, this is in the Gemara. This is Daf Chav Tes. Yeah. You can see at the top of the page, it marks it. So the Gemara continues, Tonan Rabbanan, Hamahalach B'mokim G'dudei Chaya V'listim. If a person is traveling in an area where there are bands of wild animals or bands of robbers, so in other words, it's a dangerous area to pass through. So again, he doesn't have the time to dive in Shemana Esrei in detail. Mispalo Tfilak Tzara. So then, like the Mishnah had said, like Rabbi Yeshua said, he should dive in a Tfilak Tzara. The Ezehi Tfilak Tzara. Now, what is that Tfilak Tzara? Now, we're going to have several opinions in the Gemara over here. Most of them, Mephoshim, explain that these opinions that we're going to list over here, one after the other, are differing. They're arguing with Rabbi Yeshua in the Mishnah. Rabbi Yeshua had given the one Nusach, Hosha Hashem Asamcha, and each of them is giving a different Nusach, and the Gemara is going to end up passing. The Tzlach actually learns not like that. The Tzlach, with no to be Yehuda, learns not like that. He says there's a difference between Mahalach B'Mokim Sakona, which is what the Mishnah is talking about, versus Mahalach B'Mokim G'dudei Chayiv Listim, and therefore, so he says, that Rabbi Yeshua's Hosha Hashem's Amcha would be for one situation, and then the different opinions that we're going to have here in the Braisa are a different situation. That's not how it's Paskin in Shulchan Aruch, though. In Shulchan Aruch, it's Paskin that, in fact, all of them are arguing, and the Gemara is going to end up saying Halacha Ka'acherim once we get to the end of the paragraph. By the way, in Shulchan Aruch, it explains that the difference is if a person we talked about yesterday, davening Habinenu. Now, if a person does daven Habinenu, they were Yotze Shemina Esru with it. Even though you're supposed to, you're supposed to say all 19 brachas of Shemana Esrei, but in a case where a person is in a situation where he says Havinenu, then with that he's Yotze Shemana Esrei. On the other hand, if a person is in a situation where the only thing he can say is the Tefillah Tzara, whatever the Nusach is that we have over here in the Gemara, he's not Yotze Shemana Esrei with it. Because even though he is asking in a general way that Hashem should do for us what we need, you don't have any of the specific things that there need to be in Shemana Esrei. There's no praise of Hashem at the beginning. There's no requests for what we need in the middle. There's no thanks to Hashem at the end. And therefore, the result would be once the person is out of that situation, if it's still within this mind of davening, then he has to actually daven a proper Shemana Esrei. And if not, then he has to make it up at the next Shemana Esrei, as usual, when a person missed a tefillah. So the Gemara continues. So V'ezer tefillah tzara. So what is the nusach of that tefillah tzara? Rabbi Eliezer Omer, he should say as follows. Asay ritzoncha b'shamayim imal, Hashem, do your will in Shamayim up above. So in other words, Rashi explains, up above, in Shamayim, the Malachim don't do any Averis. So you're able to accomplish, we know Hashem's will is to do good, teva atoiv lahetiv. So up in Shamayim, you're able to do exactly what you want without anything interfering. So do that. And the same nachas ruach liyerecha mitachas, then below down over here, give those who fear Hashem nachas ruach, meaning that they shouldn't, Rashi says, so they don't get confused by the chayas and listim and the other dangers that we're talking about over here that you have on the road. And so Rashi explains, in other words, so asei ratzon chav shamayim mimal means in shamayim, you're able to do exactly what you want because you're able to do them toiv. Meanwhile, to the tachtonim, have rachmanus on them, because if you did exactly what you wanted, then we would never be able to manage. And then as far as the yirei shamayim, the people down here on earth who fear Hashem, do give them nachas ruach, make it possible for them to be at ease when they're traveling through these dangerous places. And do what is good in your eyes. Which means, in other words, so Rashi refers to a pasuk in Shoftim, where the Jewish people use such an expression. There you have, the Jewish people have been guilty of serious averus, avodah zarah, another thing, and Hashem finally says to them, you know what, I give up on you. Go dive into the getchkes that you've been davening all this time to. I'm not helping you anymore. And the Jewish people say, no, at least save us from the goyim who are harassing us. In that case, it was Bnei Ammon. Then, Hashem, fine, do to us whatever you decide is right, but at least save us from these Ammonim. So in other words, here also we're saying, if it happens that we deserve something, fine, then Hashem will do what's right in his eyes, because he knows what's good for us and what's not. But at least do it in a way that we don't end up getting it through these listim and chayas ruach. Mamsho has a different explanation of the tefillah a little bit. He's saying the asei ratzon chav shamayim mimal b'ten ruach b'sein nachas ruach liyerecha mitachas is actually all one long statement. It's saying that you do as your gzera was in shamayim, but make an exception for the yereecha. If it's a bad gzera, make an exception for them and make a nachas ruach for them, that this ratzon that you have, that you want to bring a certain thing on the world, make an exception for it. For your echa. And then a person never knows what's really good for him. So we finish off. Atoy benecha say, Hashem, you do what you know is really right for us. And you finish off. Baruch atah Hashem shemei atviva. Rabbi Yeshua says a different nusach. Now, in the Mishnah, we had a different nusach that Rabbi Yeshua says. We had the Hoshah Hashem Asamcha. So according to the Tzlach, there's no contradiction, because the Mishnah is talking about one situation and the Brais is talking about a different one. According to everybody else, you would have to say that there are two Tanoyim who disagree what Rabbi Yeshua's nusach of the Tfilah Tzara was. There are even Meforshim who say that maybe they don't even have Rabbi Yeshua's statement in the Brais at all, in their Girsah. Anyway, he says, Shema Shavas Amcha Yisrael, listen to the cry of your people Yisrael, Vasei Mehera Bakashosam, and do what they're requesting quickly. Baruch Ata Hashem Shemeat Tfila, blessed are you Hashem who hears our prayer. Rabbi Lozer Rabbi Tzadik Omer, he says almost the exact same nusach, but he says the second word is different. Shema Tzakas Amcha Yisrael, listen to the cry or to the screams of your people Yisrael, Vasei Mehera Bakashosam, and do what they want quickly. Baruch Ata Hashem Shemeat Tfila. So the only difference is between Tzaka and Shabbat. So Rashi says Shava suggests Shabbas Amcha Yisrael suggests more a lashon of groaning. Marsha says you could say it either way. Rashi says that Shava is more intense than Tefillah. So maybe Rashi's girsah in fact was that Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Tzedek says Shema Tefillas Amcha Yisrael, and in that case it would mean Rabbi Yeshua's is more intense. But the other possibility is that maybe so Marsha is not really sure which one is stronger, Tzaka or Shava. In any case, each of them has their nusach. Acherim, and then the acherim, which usually means Reb Meir, has yet another nusach. Tzorche amcha Yisrael merubin, the needs of your people Yisrael are great. V'daitam tzara, and their understanding is short. So, meaning, in other words, that we don't have the ability to express everything that we need from Hashem. Daitam tzara can also mean that our das is short in the sense that we don't have the long term view of that Hashem has to know what's good for us. Hashem knows, but we have a short das, and therefore we can't always see that when what the Eibishter is giving, we don't always see it as tov anir v'anigla. This is, by the way, the piyut that we have in Slichus and in Kippur davening. Tzorcha merubim tzorcha amcha v'daitam tzara comes from this tefillah. So we continue. Yirotzim l'fanach Hashem alekenu, may it be your will, Hashem our God, shetitim l'chalach abechav kedei parnasasai, that you should give each person what he needs for his parnasa, for his sustenance, olchol gviyo gviyo dei machsora, and to every body you should give what it's lacking. Some neschois have, and this is how it's brought in Shulchan Aruch, and you add the words v'atov beinecha asei, do what's good in your eyes, and you finish off, baruch atah Hashem shemeatri. So Amar Rav Huna, halacha ka'achirim, the halacha is like the achirim, that is the nusach to say when you're unable to daven Shemoneh Esrei, then you just say that, you say that tefillah. And again, if then you're out of the dangerous situation and you're able to daven a proper Shemoneh Esrei, then you still have to do that. Yeah. Yeah, that's the point. In other words, so we're talking about a situation where you don't have time to stop and daven Shemoneh Esrei because it's a dangerous situation. So therefore, you say this, which encapsulates basically the idea that we're saying, that Maharsha says, in other words, by saying this tefillah, in effect, you're saying, by rights, I should be davening the entire 19 brachas of Shemoneh Esrei, which lists out in detail all the things that I as an individual and we as the Jewish people collectively need. But Daitam Tzara, but our das is short, meaning that we're on the road and we don't have a full das. And therefore, we're saying in general, Yiratzim Ofanacha and the rest of it. Yeah. So since we're talking about dinim, about when a person is traveling, so that leads the Gemara to discuss a related point about Tefillah Sadech. Omele Eliyahu the Rav Yehuda Achudet of Sala Chasida. Eliyahu, Hanavi, Bepashtos, told Rabbi Yehuda, the brother of Rabbi Sala Chasida, so this is not the regular Rabbi Yehuda and Shas, this is a different one. Anyway, he tells him, Loit Tirtach, you should not get angry, Veloy Sechta, and thereby you won't come to Averis. Because a person gets angry, it's easy for him to be led into other kinds of Averis. Marshall refers to something that the Gemara says in Nedarim, for example. I think we had it recently that if a person gets angry, it was in Daf Yomi a few days ago, that when a person gets angry, even the Shechina means nothing to him. Because he thinks as the Alter Rebbe explains in Tanya, when a person is angry, he doesn't realize at that moment that Hashem is running the world and that whatever happened to him is because of that, and therefore, yeah. He says also, Loi sirvi v'loi sechta. Don't get drunk, and also you won't come to do averus. Because again, a person gets drunk, then it lowers their inhibitions and causes them to do all kinds of averus. Ion Yaakov points out that there is a valid time for a Talmid Chacham to be angry. The Gemara elsewhere has an expression, Oraisahu to Kamarat Chalei, that when a Talmid Chacham gets angry, it's the Torah burning within him, the fire of Torah that's making him angry. So there is a time when it's appropriate to show anger. And the same thing, there is a time when it's appropriate to drink wine. So what Eliyahu is warning, Rabbi Yehuda, is to be careful of the kind of anger that leads to averus, and of the kind of drunkenness that leads to averus, not against anger per se or drunkenness per se, because each of those does have its place. And he continues, Uchsha'ata yotze l'derech, when you go out to travel on the road, he molech b'koin chavatzeh, take advice, take counsel or permission from your Rashi defines it, Himalach as Torah Shust, get permission, Bekoincha, from your creator, Vatsay, and then go on your trip. So the Gemara says, on that last one, my Himalach Bekoincha Vatsay, what does that expression mean? Amar Rav Yaakov, Amar Rav Chista, Zut Tfilah Saderach. So this refers to davening Tfilah Saderach before you leave on your trip. The point being, in other words, you're davening for Hashem to help you. How is that? So Marsha explains like this: when a person is traveling on the road, there's who's going to tell him whether the trip itself is going to be safe and whether he's going to accomplish what he needs to. So he needs to daven to Hashem to help him out. And there's also the idea, Mefoshim explained, that when a person is davening Tfilas Saderach, automatically it makes him think, or it should make him think, you know what? I can't very well ask for Hashem to make me successful if this trip is not in accordance with what Hashem wants. So therefore, that itself, the person davens Tfilas Haderech, it makes them realize that they have to make sure that their trip is in consonance with what Hashem wants. So Amar Rav Yaakov, Amar Rav Chista, Zut Tfilas Haderech. Worth telling in this connection, actually, a story from a medrash about getting advice, about knowing whether you're going to have a safe trip before you go. A medrash tells a story that there was a fellow from the city of Botsra. He spent most of his life as a goy. Eventually, he became a ger. So now he thinks to himself, so he was a traveling salesman. He thinks to himself the next time after he becomes a giver, the next time he's going on a business trip, he thinks to himself, you know, every other time I would always go to my local Goyisha priest and ask them where to ask the idol whether I'm going to be successful. Now I'm a Yid. I'm not allowed to do that. There's no Urim V'Tumim. There's no Nevi'im, no nothing. Who am I going to get advice like that from? I'll have to trust in Hashem. So he goes his first time, his first trip ever without getting such an oracle ahead of time. He comes to the city and he finds that there are guards over there and they have an altar there to offer a korban to the city god before you come in. So now he's really nervous. How's he going to sneak by over there? He's a Yid. He can't get involved with that. So he gets off his donkey, the pashtus, figuring that he's going to sneak into the city, and the donkey runs off. The guards from a distance see a donkey running off and him on the floor. They jump to conclusions. He must have fallen off. So everybody runs over to help him and to catch the donkey and get him back on and so on and so forth. So nobody has the presence of mind to think, hey, you know what? There's this altar over here. You want to bring a korban. So he gets into the city safely and is able to accomplish his business. So the Medrash says there's a perfect example of a person trusts in the Eivishter and the Eivishter pays him back for his trust. So this is literally this Himalech B'Koin Chavatzei, that previously he would have always gone and asked for counsel. Am I going to be successful on this trip? This time he davens Tfilos Aderech and he trusts in the Eivishter and it worked out. So the Gemara says V'Heichi Matzila. Now, in what position should a person daven Tfilos Aderech? Rav Chista Amam Umar. So Rav Chista says a person should daven stand to say it. Rav Shesha Sama Afilo Mahalach. Rav Shesha says you can even be walking and say Tfilos Aderech. So the Gemara tells Rav Chista and Rav Sheshes havu ka'azli ba'urcha. One time Rav Chista and Rav Sheshes were traveling together on the road. Kom Rav Chista v'kamatzli. Then at some point Rav Chista got up and started davening. Omele Rav Sheshes l'shamei ma'ika over Rav Chista. So Rav Sheshes asked his attendant, what is Rav Chista doing? Rav Sheshes was blind, so he couldn't see what Rav Chista was doing. So he has to ask. Omele koyu matzli. So he told him, Rav Chista is standing up and davening. And Rav Sheshes obviously realized this is not one of the three daily tefillos, pashtos, because it wasn't the time for it. So he tells him, you know what, stand me up also, help me stand up, and I'll say tefillos aderech also. Even though I hold that we don't have to stand, that you're allowed to say it while you're walking or traveling or whatever, once Rav Chista is standing anyway and I have to wait for him, then I might as well stand as well, because mi yois toiv al tikri ra.
It means standing or it means not walking?
So it means stand, but pashtus, it means standing, but.
But it could be that you could sit also.
Could be that you could sit also, right. Right, I mean, in Shulchan Aruch, it mentions that ideally you should stand, but if you can't, then yeah. So anyway, mi yois tov al tikri ra. If you're able to do good, then don't do bad. It's a parable. The Gemara explains elsewhere in Baba Kama that this is a paraphrase of a Pasuk in Mishlei. The exact words themselves are not in Tanakh, but it's a paraphrase of a Pasuk in Mishlei, where the point is, if you have the opportunity to do something good, don't dafka do differently. So in this case, Rav Sheshes is saying, granted, I hold that you're allowed to be walking or moving or whatever while you're doing it, but as long as we have to stop anyway, then I might as well do like Rav Chista is doing. So the Maisa, the halacha as brought in Shulchan Aruch is ideally you should do like Rav Chista and stop and stand. If you can't, for example, you're in a hurry, then you can follow Rav Sheshes and be sitting or traveling or whatever while you say Tfilos Aderech. In connection with Tfilos Aderech, by the way, I once read a cute story. I think it was in one of Chanuch Teller's books. He tells where one time there was a younger man in Eretz Yisrael who was traveling in a taxi, and he was saying Tfilos Aderech. So the taxi driver was a Yid, not yet frum. And after he says, he's saying Tfilos Aderech, Satzileinu, Mekafkel Oyev, Va'orev, Velistim, Mechayis Rois. So the taxi driver starts laughing, Chayis Rois. You don't find those on the road nowadays. The younger man didn't say anything. A couple of minutes later, this big fly flies in through the window and is getting all over the place and getting in the driver's way and almost causing him to swoo off the road. And finally, the guy has to get out to the side of the road and shoo it out. He gets back in. He says to the younger man, I see what you're talking about. So yeah.
And that's even today.
Yeah. So that's even today. That's the point. Yeah. So the Gemara continues. So now the Gemara goes on to talk about the end of the Perek, the last Mishnah of the Perek talks about the dinim of davening Shemini Esrei when you're traveling. So the Mishnah mentions that you're supposed to get, if you, so you're supposed to get off your donkey or whatever it is you're riding on, to daven Shemoneh Esrei. But if you can't, then at least you can be sitting to daven Shemoneh Esrei, but at least you have to be facing facing Yerushalayim. And if you don't know what direction that is, then you just have kavana towards it. So the Gemara says, "Turn up on and Suma." We learn in a Braisa that a blind person, or a person who's not able to tell which way is which, so he should have kavana that he's davening towards Hashem. In other words, so he does, he's not able to figure out what direction to daven towards, but he should have in mind that whatever direction he's davening in, it's towards Hashem. As you have in Shloimeh HaMelech's Tefillah by the Chanukas HaBayis of the first Beis HaMikdash, he says they will daven towards Hashem, their God. Now you have actually this and the following and the following couple of psukim that the Gemara is going to quote are actually the Gemara goes on to quote the not here in Ein Yaakov, we don't have all of it. The Gemara either Ein Yaakov left out some of it, but the Gemara goes on to explain how depending where you are in the world, you should have kavana. So we'll have the first part. How you're owned b'chutz la'aretz, if a person is standing outside Eretz Yisrael, you have in the b'keneged Eretz Yisrael. He has in mind that he's facing towards Eretz Yisrael. Shenema v'ispalu alecha derech outzim b'chula, because Shlomo says in the same tefillah, they'll daven to you towards their land. B'chula, and the Gemara goes on to mention, if a person is in Eretz Yisrael, he should be facing towards Yerushalayim. If he's in Yerushalayim, he should be facing towards the Kodesh HaKadoshim. If he's in the Kodesh HaKadoshim itself, he should be facing towards the Oren, and so forth. So Marsha explained, for each one of them, the Gemara brings, or not for each one of them, for most of them, the Gemara brings Psukim, and Marsha explains, so all of those Psukim are from Shloimeh's Tefillah, and Shloimeh himself is going into details over there. So first he mentions that Jewish people all over Eretz Yisrael should daven towards Yerushalayim. Then he says, suppose a Yid has been taken captive by Goyim and is outside Eretz Yisrael, then be spalu alecha derech aretzam, and so forth. So we see that already Shloimeh is telling us this idea that everybody should be davening towards the same spot. So it comes out the entire Jewish people are all mechaven their hearts and as much as possible their position towards one place, towards the Beis HaMikdash. Where's a posik where we see that point expressed that it's important to face Yerushalayim when you're daven? In Shir HaShirim, it talks about the Beis HaMikdash. K'migdal David Savorich, your neck is like the Tower of David. It's built for talpios. Now, talpios means tel shakol, or shakol pios ponim boy. Tel means a mountain. Shakol pios, that all the mouths of the Jewish people, ponim boy, are all turning towards it. So that's talpios. So we see that the Beis HaMikdash is supposed to be the place where everybody faces towards it when they're down. Marsha points out that you have various places where the Beis HaMikdash is compared to the neck. We find, for example, when Yosef and Binyamin met after Yosef revealed who he is, and Rashi explains over there from the Gemara and Megillah that it means that they were each crying about each other's Bate Mikdash. So we see that the Beis Mikdash is compared to the neck. One idea, as it talks about in many places in Chassidus and in Sfarim earlier than that also, the idea being just like you have the moichin in the head and you have the midos that are primarily in the body and you have to have something that connects them and that something is the neck. The same way the Beis HaMikdash connects Elikus up there with us with us Nivroim down here and therefore it's compared in that sense to a neck. The Gemara finishes off, Kama Yishe Ben Tefila L'Tefila. Now, suppose a person is davening two Shemoneh Esreis back to back. So Rashi gives an example that you could have a person made a mistake. A person forgot Yalav Yavoi, a person forgot whatever it is that he needs, and therefore he needs to daven again. Or another example would be he davened Shacharis, and now he's going to daven Musaf. Kama Yishe Ben Tefila L'Tefila. How long does he have to wait between one Tefila, between one Shemoneh Esrei and the next? So the Gemara says, Rav Huna v'Rav Chista. Rav Huna and Rav Chista have different opinions how much it should be. One says that it has to be long enough for him to have a thought of tischoinen, that he should be able to. We said before that you have to daven b'loshen tchina, that you have to daven to Hashem in a way where you're pleading with Hashem to do whatever it is you're asking. So therefore, that a person should be able to be in that frame of mind to be able to ask Hashem in a way of pleading. The other one, between Rav Huna and Rav Chista, uses the expression which is Meloshin Chiloi, Meloshin Vayichal Moshe, as the Gemara is going to say, that it means that he has the ability to, again, to Chiloi, to plead with Hashem. So Rashi explains there's no real nafka minna between Rav Huna and Rav Chista's versions. Each one has their own lashon of how to express this point. So where does each one get it from? Mando amakadisha tischoinen daite olav. The one who says that tischoinen dichtiv v'aschanen al Hashem. We see that the pasuk uses the expression Moshe says v'aschanen. I pleaded with Hashem. So therefore, that's the frame of mind to be in for Shemoneh Esrei. Or mando amakadisha tischoilol daite olav dichtiv v'yichal Moshe. We find the same shodosh used when Moshe is pleading for the Jewish people after the Chet Eigel. So now, according to Rashi, then it comes out then that it's the same thing. Yad Yosef brings over here from the Oruch a different explanation. What it is when a person is davening, when a person is davening by the Omer, so naturally he's going to be kind of afraid of the Tzibur. Now when he's going to daven, then he loses that stage fright. So then one opinion is he needs enough time to be able to lose that sense of stage fright in front of the Tzibur and be able to have a feeling of Roscham. The second one is that he feels that he has the ability to plead with Hashem to forgive him for what he did wrong. Now that would be, the Aruch says, that would be longer than the first one. Voschanan could imply you're davening to Hashem in order to get something. Moshe is davening to Hashem, voschanan, because he wants to go into Eretz Yisrael, he wants to receive a reward. As opposed to tischoilo vayichal Moshe is when he's asking Hashem to forgive, in that case it was the Jewish people, for a regular person it's for himself, what he did wrong. He needs to be more in a contrite frame of mind for that, and therefore the Aruch says that takes longer. So it comes out, according to the Aruch, that tischoilol is longer than tischoin. With that said, the lahalocha, it's brought more like Rashi says, and the definition is given that it's enough time to walk 4 amos, as there is the minimum time you need between one tefillah and the next. Abboina over here points out, So for example, on Shabbos, I mean, practically speaking, of course, we have much more than 4 amos between one Shemoneh Esrei and the next. But let's say, so you actually have, when it comes to having 2 Shemoneh Esreis back to back, we always have something between them. That is why, by the way, on Yom Kippur, why is it we move Ashrei and Uvol Tzion to Ne'ilah instead of having them before Mincha as usual? The reason is because otherwise we really wouldn't have anything between Shemoneh Esrei of Mincha and Shemoneh Esrei of Ne'ilah, because Aleinu was only added to the Tfilas later on. So therefore, you'd finish Shemoneh Esrei of Mincha, and you'd right away be going into Shemoneh Esrei of Ne'ilah. So therefore, they moved Ashrei Uvol Tzion into there. Meanwhile, between Musaf and Mincha, first of all, I mean, on Minhag is you have a break anyway, but even if you don't have a break, you have Kriyas HaTorah in between them. That's enough of a break anyhow. So this kind of thing about davening back to back would be, for example, again, if a person made a mistake in Shemoneh Esrei and he has to daven again, he has to wait a minimum of the time it takes to walk 4 amos. That's considered to be enough time that tischoilo daito, tischoin and daito olav, and then he can daven the next Shemoneh Esrei. Habboina at the bottom of the page points out another point also. When it says by Chal Moshe, that Moshe pleaded with Hashem to forgive the Jewish people for the Chet Egel, one meaning of Vaychal, besides Meloshin Chilui, Meloshin petitioning, it's also related, there's a medrash he brings that relates it to an Aramaic word for sweet. The Aramaic word for sweet is the Aramaic shodash for it, rather, is Ches Lamed. Like Gemara has, for example, someplace Chulia means sweet foods. So therefore, so what it means is, in other words, so what happened? Hashem was, so to speak, bitter towards the Jewish people. He had made a shvur to destroy them, and Moshe was able to sweeten it and to be matzur that net. So he says, similar to the Aruch, that tischoilol is longer than tischoinen, but he takes a different view of it. Tischoinen would just be enough time, again, that a person can express himself in a way of chanina, in a way of pleading with Hashem. Tischoilol would be the amount of time that it takes to actually make it that your tefillah should have the ability, so to speak, to sweeten Hashem's gzeiros, which would be longer. Again, la'alocha, though, it just says in Shulchan Aruch that 4 amos is enough. Yom Yom Mashiach Ugo'ola, Chav Zayin Cheshvan. The Rebbe talked about that in our generation, you have the fullness of your chutzah, minus secha chutzah, in all corners of the world. If it was that way in Tufshin and Aleph, how much more it is now when we have 16 times as many shluchim as there were then or whatever. Yeah. Anyway, and in a way that's moving in a person, in a way that's understandable in a person's seichel, even people who are in the chutzah shein chutzah imenu, in the uttermost faraway places, Even Pnimius HaTorah has been translated into various languages. For example, at around that time, Tanya was translated into Russian in a way that Moshe Faholach Bar, and the Rebbe talked about in particular just recently, the Rebbe said Besicha at the end of Nun Aleph, just recently the Tanya, the Torah Shebach Sabbath, the Siddur, had been printed in Braille for blind people. So that was an extra step that everyone was pointing out. And I thought it's a Mayonis Chotzer. Halachas, we're continuing with the halachas of mezonos food. So we started talking about yesterday that, for example, if you have farfel together with vegetables, then so the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch says you would make a separate bracha on each one. The Alter Rebbe says you would just say mezonos on it. Now that would be if the pieces are separate. If everything got mixed and if everything got mashed and mixed together, then even if the flour is the mu'at, but it is from chameshus minei dogon, therefore it's important, and you would say mizonos and alamichya on it. The Alter Rebbe actually says that yesh oimrim that you'd only say alamichya only if it's kezayis v'chdei achilas pras, which would be, in other words, that according to that, it would come out that the flour has to consist of about 12 or 13% of the mixture in order for it to be considered that. So therefore, so better to eat something else that's for sure alamichya and something else that's for sure bone and farshus, and then you're covered for an after bracha either way, says the Alter Rebbe. Now he continues this din about if you have a food that's made with flour and other ingredients that the bracha is mezonos is only if you put in the flour in order to give it a flavor. Sometimes you just put in flour into something just in order to help stick it together. Or for example, he gives examples over here where you have certain mandelbrot or whatever, where you just put in a little bit of flour in order to stick it together. Then the flour is bottle, and then you only make a bracha on the ikar. The Alter Rebbe actually says differently. If you're intending to eat the mezonos part as well, then you would say mezonos regardless. So it comes out, for example, let's say according to Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, if you have, for example, a pie where you only have a very thin crust that's just basically meant to hold it together, then according to him, you would just say a bracha on the filling, not on the crust. Whereas it comes out, apparently, according to the Alter Rebbe, you'd actually make a bracha on the crust as well, because the fact is you do have in mind to eat it. It sounds like the Alter Rebbe is saying even if the crust is not important. On the other hand, for example, they talk about well, yeah, but okay, you could still eat the filling. But for example, I'm not so sure about that 100% though, because for example, they talk about with ice cream, when you're eating ice cream in a cone, so they actually draw a distinction between whether it's a sugar cone versus a regular cone. A regular cone is just there to keep the ice cream from getting all over the place, so it would be tofel, as opposed to a sugar cone, you actually want the flavor of it, so then it would be a mezonos. So even when you're eating, so a regular cone, that's what I'm saying, before I think our Rabbanim have said is not, because it's just bottled for the ice cream. So that being the case, then maybe it's not always the case, that maybe it's not a blanket thing, that always when you're eating the mezonos, it's going to be mezonos. It may depend on how tough it is. Anyway, it goes on to say, by the same token, when you have, for example, sometimes you put in some flour into sauce in order to thicken it. So you would only say, shahakol on the sauce. On the other hand, if you have, for example, that you take out pieces of bread and eat them by themselves that were in the croutons or whatever, then you would in fact make mezonos on them. And if you have a kezias of them, you would say alamit. The bottom line is the things of brachas are one of the more complicated areas in halacha. They say, you know, that there are some rabbanim who, when people would come to them for smicha tests, they would bring them out a bowl of fruit or something and see if they know the dinim of the brachas on it. Because, yeah.